Hey, Charlie?
I don't remember.
Oh.
Did Professor Day do it? Is that where Professor Day got it? Did he move into that house, or would you know?
Both of you have been lawyers in the town of Bradford. Are there any famous law cases in Bradford? You know, really, you know, ones that got national attention or provincial attention or anything like that. I mean, we have the famous case of the Boyd gang coming into town and shooting the town up. But
yeah.
I was just wondering are there any famous murders or anything like that in Bradford that became?
Well, I think they covered them all up.
they had a good lawyer. It must have been a pretty quiet town. It doesn't seem to be anything that.
I think Reg Wilson was the chief of police at the time that the bank was broken into, and he was upstairs living. Remember Reg Wilson?
Oh, very well.
He was the town policeman, and living on the second floor of the bank when the bank was on the ground floor and was broken into. Remember that? I think Reg had to get involved, and I think we eventually caught up with this gang anyway.
A little vague on it. The point is that Reg didn't know they had robbed the bank under either.
I don't think so. I don't think by that time maybe they'd robbed the bank. I don't know.
Did you have you had a garden back of your house, didn't you? Did you have quite a sized garden back of your house?
There was the house, the garden, and the orchard.
And a barn back there.
And a barn back there. On the other side was the tennis court, the garden, and the orchard.
Oh.
There was a good apple orchard behind the barn.
Yeah. Remember that?
That's where the apples were, isn't it?
Yeah, that's where we used to go and steal apples.
I was going to ask who picked the apples.
Where's your family home at the stage we're talking about now?
Down on Drury Street. Down near Jimmy Curry's down there.
Oh, yeah.
Across from Fred McCaig. Bill Sullivan.
Yeah, it takes a bit of doing. I know exactly where Bill Sullivan lives.
Well, we're right across the road then.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah. Big double house.
He at that time was commuting to the Holland Landing on a handcar. He was a station agent, so he took his handcar down to Holland Landing.
He was a station agent in Holland Landing?
No, he was a station agent here, but he commuted to Holland Landing.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Hurley Hayes at that stage, they were running the here.
Wasn't there something here, coming back to the lacrosse team, wasn't there something here that some of them from Bradford went to Australia to play lacrosse?
Sure. I think that's the picture you're talking about, isn't it?
I don't know. And who went from Bradford? Do you remember? Anybody you know?
Doc Campbell and Vic Graham and
Crunch Reeves.
He was my uncle. That's how I knew he was. I don't think they have a picture in this book of that. I had a good invention one time. I expected to cash in on, but it didn't ever work out. We had a big front lawn down to our place, which was big enough for tennis court. And one time my dad always had a horse or a couple of horses, and I was elected to look after them mostly. And one day I conceived the idea of putting a whipple tree on the lawnmower and mowing the lawn. The mistake he made, I didn't consult the horse. I started right at the road, helped him up, Krasnikov and just ticked him up. And as soon as the Moors started, of course, he started. And he went lickety-split with me hanging onto the handles right into the barn up a little gangway and right out of the stable. So I was never able to get up patented.
Did it work? Was your lawn cut?
What did it look like, this thing you made? What did it look like?
What did it look like?
Yeah, this machine you made.
I don't know. I didn't get much of a look at it.
It would be part of a whiffle tree, like part of the harness that belongs to the. Was it not, or did you add extra things onto it?
I hung onto the handles, so he told me to put me right in the barn too. We all finished up in the barn.
Okay, so you were mentioning you had the horse. What did you use the horse for? Was this your driving horse?
Yeah.
I guess Dad had it for years. It had a horse.
Did you still use the horse to travel?
Sure, I think it was a big... We had a buggy that would... The horse would pull the buggy and so on. That was...
Your dad never drove a car, did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
More's the pity.
He never got very expert.
What kind of a car?
Ford.
Ford. Model T? Model T?
I think we worked up to a Dodge at one stage, didn't he?
Which?
I think he had a Dodge eventually, didn't he?
Yeah, later. Yeah, the Ford, he had Ruxel, Axel, and... Isn't it a Ruxel, Axel he used to go to George?
Something like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Demona Bolamus, you could change, didn't it? You didn't have to take the tire off the wheel. You had to take the wheel off and take it to the garage.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. In those days, you had a... when you were children, you had families that you would visit with in the community all the time. Like,
oh, sure.
Who were the families that you...
Sunday dinner you could count on.
Which families would those be?
There's Jeffs and Bowles and... Who were the out around Cookstown, Lennox's and son? We were connected one way or another with many families. There were the Ferrises and the Bowles and...
There were Coopers.
Coopers, sure.
My grandmother was a Cooper, so there were quite a few Cooper families.
Mm-hmm.
Well, were you always conservative in politics?
I was.
Your dad, what was your dad? Was he a conservative in politics, too?
He was a conservative.
Political rallies and that type of thing? Did you ever get involved in those? Were there any of those in?
Yeah,
well, there were political meetings for damn sure. I think.
Mm-hmm.
People would attend from inclination or lack of. If they weren't in favor of it, then they could go to the meeting and boo.
Yeah.
Really stuck for a speaker, they'd come in and hit you.
The meetings would get pretty hot in those days, didn't they?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes.
Did we have any liberals around at that time? Did we have any liberals at this time? Dad sure wasn't.
Be careful what you say around here. My mother was accused of being a liberal.
Well, I was brought up in one of those families too, where my mother was a conservative and my father was a liberal. And they used to decide, they used to sit down, well, we'd go and vote and kill each other's voter. We'd stay at home and save the effort.
That happened in all families.
Sometimes they just didn't bother to go to vote for that very reason, because all they were going to do is kill each other's vote. So yeah, it's one of those traditions.
It's interesting to note right now, drive up the main street of Bradford, how many buildings that were pretty recently well used are standing vacant on the main street of Bradford? Holy gee.
Well, it certainly is a contrast to what it used to be, and certainly Saturday night in Bradford was a shopping night.
Oh, sure.
Wasn't there something about the morning paper? Wasn't there two morning papers that come into town, and one was a liberal and one was a conservative paper?
Yeah.
Well, they want to be the Star and one to be the Liberal.
Oh.
One was the Globe and the other one was the Mail and Empire.
Yeah.
And they were on opposing sides of the political
scene?
The
Globe was a liberal paper and the Mail and Empire was conservative.
And then they became eventually they became the Globe and Mail. They combined to become the Globe and Mail. Interesting.
I guess it's the Globe, but I don't think there's any mail. No mail. In there. We take the Star and the We got the morning paper. That's
what. What paper was in Bradford though? Like its own paper? Was there
Bradford Witness?
It was.
Bet your life. Been here for a long, long time.
Did either of you ever get involved in doing any writing for the paper? Ever get involved?
I think Ina was very much in charge of it. Ina McKenzie. She was there.
Broughton's. Didn't Broughton? No, not Broughton.
Sime,
yeah, but before that, I was thinking before that, because he went west and opened a paper in the west, because Dad bought the house off him.
Carefully.
Wasn't Jim Curry was down in there too, wasn't he?
Yeah. Who were school teachers when you went to school?
Tom Pratt was a very famous school teacher and a town citizen. And he owned the paper one time, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think when I was in second form, Leona Davey was teaching second form. And her intended was Luke's, wasn't it? Was principal of the public school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a long time ago.
Did you used to get a holiday then when the wind blew strong and the old tower would shake so much they'd give you a holiday?
Not in my time.
Well, it was my time.
That was the original school, was
right. Yeah, yeah.
So when would the streets of Bradford have been paved? Like you had dirt, you didn't have a paved street in Bradford when you were growing up. Would it have been paved as a macadam road?
I don't think so by that time, but actually, right at our front door was a cement block. The square that you run up in steps, and that's how I'd get into the buggy.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of homes had
that. That's a long time ago. That
ring was going to tie up a horse to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When would the streets, like the main street of Bradford, would it have been paved when, with the, or would it have been a dirt road when you were?
To me,
let's say in the '20s,
they were paved as long as I can recall, anyway. Yeah.
But what about the other streets of Bradford? Would they have been paved as well? Like John Street and First Street?
I don't know. It doesn't ring with me.
One thing we haven't talked about, Brock, is the organ in the United Church.
Oh, yeah.
We have to record that for, we have to record that to be sure.
Well, I think at this stage, Ducky Syme and I were about, oh, first form of high school. And the organ had to be manually pumped, and it was not where the present organ is, but there was a space behind there. So I had a space about from here, there, over the organ that I could get out in the meantime and help the choir. But Ducky Syme and I, we took it alternate. He was either morning or evening, and I was, I don't know, I think we each got $6 a year. That's when the...
And you played the organ?
No. Oh, no, no, I was pumping it.
We pumped it to give me the air.
Did yours have a string coming out of the organ with a weight on it and pencil marks on it, so when you got her up to full, then it got the top, and then you'd quit pumping? And then when she got the bottom, she'd stop, and then the organ would quit, and you'd get there and pump like the devil to get back up again?
So there was a definite indicator on the side where you were in danger.
Yeah.
I was mentioning to you the other day, H. Gordon Green had an article in the paper about that. He had the same experience of pumping the organ, and how you'd sit there and wait until the indicator got down, and then you'd have, well, sometimes you waited too long, and the organist would give you the
power. The indicator was way up, and if it got to the top, boy, you'd better get in there fast. If you pumped her, why, the indicator came down. Who'd you say was
Gordon Green, H. Gordon Green, who writes in the trauma. He writes in the, he used to write for the, well, the Family Herald, the Weekly Star, and that.
Oh,
he writes,
wow.
In the, he writes in the Toronto Star on the weekend paper.
Oh,
and he had an article in there back about two or three weeks ago about pumping the organ, mm-hmm. and the looks you'd get from the organist when you didn't let the, when you let the air get down too low, and so on and so on.
This was a darn good organ, and just why we had to get a new one, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it came along.
Couldn't find anybody to pump it.
I guess somebody must have offered to donate a new organ.
One
thing I know, the recess was rebuilt. This was the.
You'd have two. So you were saying, you're mentioning that you had both a morning service and an evening service,
mm-hmm.
in church.
I had the morning service, he'd have the evening one, or vice versa, depending on which Sunday it was. There were two Sundays, there were two services. Sunday, that's for sure.
And church attendance was mandatory?
No, and it wasn't very good either.
Let's put it another way, church service was required. You went to church.
We had the same ministers for a long time. I've forgotten who the last one was.
Did the whole family go to church together?
They sure did. There was no choice.
There wouldn't be that many of us at home at that stage, would there? There wouldn't be that many of us at home at that stage, would there? Which stage? Well, Graham went off to war in 1914.
No, but when you were really young, that would you all go to church together, would you not?
I just remember when I went.
Okay, let's go back a sec. How old were you when you were pumping the organ? How old would you be?
I'd say about 10 or 11.
So, and then did you how many years would you have done that?
As of now, I can't. I left to go to university in 1928. Mm-hmm. That's as close as I can bring it to me.
Okay, so you did it for 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Something. And then you had somebody else who served their apprenticeship and learned
sure.
the doubts, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think by that time we'd probably got the new organ. Joe was my partner for years. We got $12 a year. That was $6 each. And the rates hadn't changed.
I see. So the Evanses had a monopoly on this
sure.
organ pumping thing. Is that right?
Yeah.
You had it sewn up, I think.
Right.
Oh, so. This is very often that you can learn money by going to church, is it?
You know, he had in our choir Mrs. George Green, who had the finest baritone voice I have ever heard, and his wife was the organist. Oh, gosh, he had a magnificent baritone.
So there must have been some. Were the ministers, did they stick to their times pretty well, or did you, or you, were you going? That was a Methodist church at that time,
mm-hmm.
and so that you'd get
United some, Church anyway.
Yeah, well, then in 25 became the United. Yeah, but were some of them, shall we say, a little long-winded?
I don't remember. We'd probably discourage them.
I'm just getting instructions.
I'm just wondering if you had a story you wanted to tell, and you were asking whether it should be edited or not.
He better ask me, too.
Yeah, I see. This one he's not supposed to tell him.
Yeah, that's right.
I see. Oh, dear.
What's that item right behind Louise? Anybody tell me what that is?
Yeah, it's the back end of a flip chart.
Of what?
Of a flip chart. If you turn that around on the other side, there's a big pad of paper that you can write on, and if you wanted to make notes, if you have a meeting, that type of thing. So it's commonly referred to as a flip chart.
Well, I would think that by now George is entitled to be excused, as you and I are too. Charlie, are you going home?
What about the plank road and all that? That's way before that. Plank Road on
88 Jones. That's what I was trying to get at when I was
hoping, I couldn't understand that one of the boys hadn't brought that up. The Plank Road, Jerry,
yeah.
On 88. You must know something.
I think Fred would remember about that, didn't
what
he?
What did you want us to do?
I just think you should tell folks about it. Maybe they're not aware of that.
What is the Plank Road on number...
88. That was about it.
It came in a long time after being paved.
Was
do you remember the
no.
The road to Bond Head as of right now is a paved road, but at one stage it was a plank road
that.
There. And I can't remember.
I don't remember in my lifetime where you had ever realized what a plank road there.
Because I think my brother Fred was driving the gravel truck when they were paving the main number 11. So that's not that long ago.
I thought it was 1925, but I could be wrong.
Well, no, but it could be. Because I remember he was driving one of these big trucks. And
did you do any of the legal work when Highway 400 went through?
Which one, through, George?
Highway 400, when the province of Ontario acquired the land for Highway 400.
No.
No, that was all done. You didn't get involved in any of the legal work for that.
My father, if there was anything done the opposite, he did it.
I see.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. Because that was a big that would have a fairly, shall we say, disturbing effect on the community when 400 went through, didn't it? And they started to buy the land for Highway 400.
They were talking about the North and South Highway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You in your the Evans building there, you always had a. Rented different parts of it out, didn't you?
Dr. Ellis was upstairs for years and years.
Yeah. And then the library come in once, right?
Yeah.
And then the telephone office is in.
Right.
Anything else was in that building?
Well, you built an addition to the back.
Oh, yeah. Seems to me as if I remember my dad talking about it, that you had it jacked up. To put a foundation under it or something, and then something happened that slid forward and went down, and they had an awful job getting it back up and moved it back under the.
I have no recollection of that anyway.
Then there was a fire where your building was the only one that wasn't.
That's right. It went from us to the bank.
Yeah, it went.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that was scary.
How many lawyers were we? We only had the two lawyers, didn't we, in town? You and Scannell?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's it. And there's two more now. There's Roy and Zig.
Is there not one called Hunter?
Oh, well, there's a couple more.
Okay. Just to go back to the fire a sec, did you had a firewall between your place and the fire, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you have any damage at all from the fire?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Just a lot of concern.
A lot of broken nerves in there all that day, and the fire going so good. And one thing that we did have too is, always have had, is a terrific fire brigade.
Yeah.
Gee.
Did you ever belong, Andy, you ever belong to the fire department?
No.
Oh.
When did Tom C. Fisher build the, what was the original rink behind us? Does that ring a bell with you?
Oh.
We used to skate there, I remember that.
Yeah. I would think maybe around 1910 or sometime. Take 10 or 5 or 10.
Well, I think it was long after that Tom C. put his rink in.
Well, that's what I thought you said when he put his rink in.
Well, I can't spell it out now, but I know that it wasn't there originally, anyway.
Who is it Tom Fisher or Tom?
T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N.
Tom C. You know all about Tom C. Fisher, don't you?
Oh, gee.
Okay, all right, as long as we get through Tom C. All right.
One of my recollections about the old rink is during the war when the troops marched from Camp Borden down to Toronto, and some of them bivouacked in the rink all night. But I
think Graham decided to sleep over at our house, didn't he?
There was an old sergeant in town in charge of operations here. My oldest brother was at university, but he was home, I guess, for the weekend or something. And he was out on the street. And I forget whether he didn't have his uniform on or whether he did have it on, only he maybe had his sleeves rolled up. And this old sergeant, he picked him up and marched him into my dad's house. And my father was a very capable diplomat here. I think probably what happened was the old Harris said to Graham, "What are you doing? Why aren't you in uniform?" And I think Graham said to him, "Why don't you go to hell?" So, but Dad, he buttered Harris up. I remember I was really scared. I knew that my brother was under arrest.
Okay, we're about 10 to 12 now, and this is about the time that we usually call it a day. There are a lot of things that we haven't, and you're going to get, we haven't talked about. You're going to have some things that you're going to remember that you'd like to have mentioned and that. And what we usually say to folks is get a piece of paper and put it on the refrigerator or put it on the dining room table or something and make a note or two. And then what we'd like to do is come back and maybe have a little chat with you again another day about this discussion has tweaked a lot of memories. What we'll do is we'll make a copy of the tape. And we'll give you a copy of it. And have you got the facilities at home to listen to it, Louise?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And maybe going through that, it may trigger a lot of other memories and of things that you should have mentioned.
Yes, I've probably got a copy of that book there, but I don't know where it is.
If we can be of any help, we'll certainly be very happy to.
Just before you go, there was one thing I remember them talking about. There was some lawyer that bought a new car, and they got it started. And he went up and he ran up Barry Street and around through the school and back down Church Street, and he kept going around, and every time he went through the corner, he kept waving at everybody.
Abscandal.
Was that Abscandal? And he finally ran out of gasoline, the only way he could have stopped. That's why. I was wondering if that was your father.
He never did learn to drive the damn thing. I think he sold it right after
that. What kind of a car was it? What kind of a car was it?
A cottage up at Lake Simcoe.
I mean. Yeah, that's right. I don't know what kind of a car it was, but I just...
Studebaker.
A Studebaker.
Studebaker, was it?
Mr. Scanlon at one time had a Studebaker. I don't think he had two.
Just we were talking, something to... Do you remember when they used to take ice out of Lake Simcoe for Lake Simcoe ice and fuel? Where was that operation based?
That was right at Bellure.
Right at Bellure. Oh.
They did the same thing in the river here. They took a lot of ice out of the river here, didn't they? Did you people ever have an ice house?
No.
You never had an ice house? Webb's had an ice house. Queen's Hotel
that's for
had
sure.
It. Yeah.
Right behind the butcher shop.
Though. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Queen's Hotel had an ice house. Back of Greenberg's, wasn't it? Wasn't there a nice house back in there too? Frank Cook had a nice house in the back of Greenberg's or Harry Barron's?
Harry Barron was on the corner.
Yeah, that's
it?
What I mean.
Yeah.
In the little place back there where, next to Carter's, where, well, Williamson's lived in there, just between, over the laneway.
Yeah, that, right behind the, at least, right opposite, but eventually I think the Bells moved into the home down there.
Stoddard's lived there before that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. As they say, if you just make a note, Brock, if you, you know, if you some things that you think you'd come back to.
I just remember knowing that I knew exactly. Everybody lived in Bradford. Yeah. There were no street names and there were no street numbers.
Yeah, that's right.
I could find Miss Henderson or any one of them. I'd find them here and there. But I just... Because I used to take delivery orders for Jesse Sutherland, and I had a bicycle, and I would go out in the morning and get orders for the day and deliver them eventually.
And what did Jesse... Who was Jesse...
She ran the grocery store.
Oh, the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what and you do? How did you deliver them, on a bicycle or?
I deliver them on the bicycle, I guess. And I remember Percy Stevenson used to drive the express truck, and I used to go down to the trains with Percy. I guess George Green had the store at the corner, and I was in and out of that. I know that is a lot. That's getting to be 80 odd years ago.
What? Why, yeah, I've noticed now you come up twice with Miss Henderson's name. Well, why did she...
Because she lived alone in this little house right at the corner of the... you know where...
Fairgrounds,
yeah. She lived alone there, and Mrs. Belfry lived up with her two children at the top, and you probably know where they were.
Mm-hmm. And these people would phone their order in? To the grocery store, or did they come in and get it?
No, I can't remember. My guess would be that originally I would go around on the bicycle to get the orders. I don't know. But I remember these particular houses, where they were.
You always had a telephone in the house?
Mm-hmm.
How many houses in town would have a telephone? Back?
I wouldn't have the faintest idea.
Do you remember what your telephone number was?
No.
Three rings. Too short, too long.
It's 2133. Okay.
Well, I guess we've always had telephones at both the office and respective houses.
Wasn't the telephone number one time 4?
Yeah, because somebody else was 10. I remember somebody saying theirs was 10, so.
Well, it wouldn't be hard to remember. No, it wouldn't. I remember everybody's number. It was only one digit.
Yeah. Have you, Bill Stewart, who used to be the Minister of Agriculture here in Ontario, he's written a book. He talks about the rural telephones. And the rural telephone system came under the administration of the Ministry of Agriculture and Food. And it still, I think it still does as far as that goes, where there are rural telephone systems. And there still are a few, very few municipal telephone systems in Ontario. But he was talking there about party lines. And it's a very interesting if you ever get a chance to read about party lines. So that was the communication system. You know, somebody heard the phone ring here. You went. You could hear the click, click, click on the line. You know.
Who wrote that book?
Bill Stewart.
We used to run the bell telephone system in Bradford, though.
Brookie, yeah, Brookie was there.
No, but this one was after Brookie, too.
What was the name of the book?
It's Rural Roots and More, or something like that, it's called. It's Oxford Press. Okay, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
I think the telephone came into Bradford of 1885, I think.